I don't want to speak against the responsible obligation.
Because that's there.
That's there.
But that's not it.
We have duty. Yeah. Duty is a good thing. I think some people have only maybe gotten that perspective when it comes to holiness and not the incentive motivation behind it.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Each, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Jake, welcome to studio this morning. Yeah. Thanks for being
here. I feel like after you say that, that's when like the music kicks on.
Thanks for joining us this morning. We're jumping back into the Second Corinthians series. Yes, Jake, yeah. How you feeling?
I love being back in, just a book study
right.
is always good, but yeah. getting back in, it was a tough pause there for a little bit. Not tough, like I loved what we talked about in the gap, but.
But a break of a regular rhythm of working through books of the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. You made a comment at 8 a.m. that you were pregnant with sermon, and from the reaction that might have been most people's first time hearing that that phrase, like, just, what does that mean?
It's been I was
preacher-ese.
Yeah. Well, I'd been out of the pulpit for a little while
yep.
and just anxious to get back, yep. and God's been working and study, so I was ready to deliver.
Sweet. Yeah. Might have been. Okay, I love it. No, that is it's. Don't take that imagery too far, but yeah. So jumping back in, we were in 2 Corinthians 6:14 mm-hmm. through 7:1, just talking about holiness, and just I mean your main point yesterday. So our holiness is key to our effectiveness for God and our intimacy with God, and mm-hmm. Just unpacking that more about realistically. Most good Christians know we should care about holiness, but as you brought up yesterday, and the text really revealed that there's sometimes that lacking motivation, mm-hmm. and it seems like more of an obligation. We'll jump into that here in a little bit, but so as you're studying through and getting ready for Sunday, I'm sure you had more that you wanted to dive off into, but as always, first question, if you had more time for your message or like a part two, what would you want to expand on or include?
I mean, there's some Old Testament references, and we looked at a couple of them in verse 16, but there's more in verse 17 and 18 that, yep. you know, to go into those contexts, where they're coming from, what that means, it would matter. And then just more time on each point. Going into the history of revival, there's a connection between repentance and taking sin seriously as a kind of precursor to revivals, not even in scripture, but throughout history. So I'll probably take both parts of that big idea and do a message on each of those.
Sure. Yeah. Like you've brought it before in messages, the Welsh revival. What are some of the other, like what come to mind of some?
Yeah. The
like,
Great Awakening.
In history.
The Welsh revival and the Great Awakening.
Yeah.
Would be the big ones that I've read on. Just finished a book a little while ago, Revival and Revivalism, and kind of the good thing of revival and the bad thing of revivalism. That will take this.
It's a whole nother topic. Dive into that. Yeah. But if you were to summarize that in a couple seconds or a couple sentences, what'd you say? Like revivalism is?
It drifts into like emotional decisionism and really goes outside of the church to more your tent meetings, kind of outreach things that, you know, in its worst expressions was a manipulation for results that was more man-forced than God-driven.
Got it. Yeah, that's good. That was super sweet. Anything else there?
No, yeah.
Love it. So you spoke against the responsible obligation of holiness in light of the devotion and worship and mission we're meant for. Why do you think that people often get caught up in the responsible obligation of holiness?
Yeah, I don't think I don't want to speak against the responsible obligation.
Because that's there.
That's there.
But that's not it.
Yeah.
Like that's not all there is.
Right. So I think – do we have a responsibility? And obligation has turned into a bad word in our society.
It's more like a gift.
But we have duty. Yeah. Duty is a good thing. We have obligations, responsibilities.
There's purpose. There's meaning.
Yeah. So that is an aspect of our holiness. We're responsible for that. I don't want to overshadow, but I think some people have only maybe gotten that perspective when it comes to holiness and not the incentive motivation behind it.
Because do you think that then that's such a personal focus on what I'm doing and what I'm not doing? Like, it's just about the act, which, I mean, you look in the New Testament, Jesus had a lot to say about actions being the primary focus, where there's more about a heart, and then that's kind of where the motivation is more of the worship in the
Well, I think there's real imperatives in Scripture. Like, there's commands, there's actions, as you said. We can't detach them from the promises.
Yeah.
And I think that's what comes out clear in this text where, you know, since we have these promises, and you see Paul talk about that in all his letters, Christ, they're forward thinking. There's glorious things that are promised to God's people that we are to strive towards. And if you take that out of the call to holiness, you're missing what I think the drive of Scripture points to us that motivates holiness.
Do you – so my second part of this question was like, what might tell on us that we're falling into this trap? Do you think that has more to do with our culture of like individualism and experiential living than like – When we look back to like first century Christians, there's this more common understanding of like the group, like the people you belong, like this, like there's more of the greater good thought, where now it's like, no, this is what works for me and this is what I like. It's easy to get caught into just thinking of yourself, where a connection to like God's people helps us to see we're a part of the promises, we're a part of this bigger picture that's motivating, not just like, what do I need to do? Or what do I need to not do? I don't know. What
might tell on us?
Yeah,
what might be an indicator that I'm
– Yeah.
If the practice of practical holiness is always a burden, not that it's not hard, but if there's never a joyful pursuit of it, then we're only looking at what we can't do that our flesh may want to do, and we're not looking at what promised through it that we'll get in doing it. So I think if you're always just angry that you are trying to be holy and you're never excited about it, then you're focused on a responsibility and not a promise. So that could tell on you. Like, what is your emotional disposition to holiness?
Yeah.
If you're like, well, I'm doing it, but I hate it.
Yeah.
I wish I could go and engage in that, and I can't, and I don't because I'm a Christian. And it's like, you sound like a really joyful Christian, right? Like, it sounds like somebody who wants to sin, and you're just mad that you're making a decision
that
not
you feel
to
bad
sin.
About it.
Yeah.
Instead of feel bad about feeling bad about it.
Yeah. Instead of joyfully pursue the promises given in that. So I would look at our emotional disposition to practical godliness.
That's sweet. I love that. So as we're talking about pursuing holiness, are there some like helpful principles that we can employ to help one another as we pursue holiness? So that, because this isn't, again, not just a thing of like you by yourself go do this. Because it is like y'all are promised this together. Like you've been brought into God's family. You are part of the body.
Yeah. Holiness is a community pursuit.
Right.
We need brothers and sisters to hold us accountable. So I would say two things in this. One is know God's word, which defines right and wrong.
Sure.
So even I was with some guys this morning reading through the book of Judges. The problem in Judges is everybody did what was right
in their own eyes.
In their own eyes. And we find that today where it's like, I'll decide what's right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I'll decide how I'll handle money. I'll decide what I will watch and won't. And you do. You make those decisions, but are you making those decisions informed on God's word or just on your opinions? Mm-hmm. Well, you have to know God's word. Okay, I'm not going to do that or say that or wear that or go there because, you know, Paul said and it, like you're being directed by God's word.
Right.
So first thing in holiness is know right and wrong as defined by God.
So that would be like applying a biblical filter in decision making.
Yes. And you might be like, well, the Bible doesn't speak directly to X.
Sure. Social media.
Yeah. But the Bible has principles that are clear. Find the principle and walk it down to apply it into your life.
Yep.
Okay. How do I do that well? In community. Community is a gift. Process your decisions with other people that care about you and your holiness.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our relationships, they care about you and your momentary happiness. Mm-hmm. So you'll get the kind of advice of, well, what do you want to do? What will make you happy? Instead of, well, what is God saying? What's a pursuit for your holiness? So process those out in community.
And I would say with that, don't wait for somebody to come to you to do that. Bring that to somebody.
Yeah.
Invite somebody into that. Like I literally just this last week had a guy that needed to do something relationally hard and write a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And said, hey, next Sunday, will you ask me if I wrote that letter?
Yeah.
If I addressed this conflict and this issue? And so he invited the accountability in. And then me on my end, my responsibility, I was like, I'm putting that as a reminder in my phone for Sunday to talk to you about that.
Yeah. We feel our autonomous kind of individualistic culture has really made us feel alone in our convictions and pursuit of holiness, where we've adopted this cultural behavior is, hey, you do you.
Yeah.
What's right for you? That doesn't work in Christianity because we have a shared sense of authority in the Word of God.
Yes.
So be proactive in having conversations, even for parents to sit down and be like, hey, what rules are you making with your kids about technology?
Yep.
What rules do you make with your kids about what you'll allow them to watch and not watch?
Yep.
What rules are you making with your kids about what you'll let them wear and not wear? Okay, where are we getting these? Why are we making these rules? What's the biblical principle behind that? Let's sharpen each other in these rules because it's really helpful to have community to work through biblical principles and bring them down to application. But it's also helpful when kids are like, mom and dad, like everybody does that. You're like, no, actually we talked to this family and this family. It's like we're all trying to parent as God directs in his word and we're in it together. So I think community is a gift in our pursuit of holiness.
That's sweet.
Both for our accountability and camaraderie.
Yeah. 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 I mean, because it is like when you're running the same plays together, like – you feel unified. You're on the same team. Like, and it's primarily not about calling each other. Like, I mean, you go to Galatians 6. It's like, it's not about calling them out like, hey, I caught you. It's no, hey, you're caught. Like, you're entrapped in something that you shouldn't be involved in. And I'm lovingly coming to you and rebuking you in a spirit of gentleness to bring you alongside to help you pursue holiness. And I love you enough and I care about your holiness enough that I'm going to bring this up. Yeah, that's sweet. All right, Jake, so yesterday, again, main idea, our holiness is key to our effectiveness for God and our intimacy with God. Just again, that I think the missional like intentionality there, connection, we continue to see that play out in 2 Corinthians and even just kind of your setup yesterday that the potency of the church is directly connected to is the culture – influencing the church or is the church seeking to remain apart but influence and be set apart and influence the culture for the kingdom of God?
And really, I think the church has gotten so consumed with the idea of relevance that we've misplaced where power comes from.
That's good. All right. We do have a listener question.
Hey.
We had a couple of weeks without some questions. Not that people aren't talking on them, but we had an actual submission that came through yesterday. So this writer said, in light of the directive to not be yoked to an unbeliever in 2 Corinthians 6:14, as an employee, how do I approach working for an employer that does not share the same values Christians do?
That's
so working in a secular workplace, am I being yoked to an unbeliever?
Yeah, if God was calling us all to have Christian bosses, a lot of us would be out of a job.
Yep.
So I don't think what Paul's saying applies down to that. However, I would think it might apply to you're not working for this person. You're partners with them. You started a business.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pull in different directions when it comes to the values you have in your business. Like you're an owner, they're an owner.
So not saying like, all right, this is my secular, you know, company that I work for, multiple thousand people. Not like, now they're not, there might be a time where it's like, hey, what we're doing directly binds my conscience.
Yeah.
And I can't agree with that. And I no longer.
Yeah. You don't submit to an authority that is below God that's asking you to violate the authority of God.
Yeah.
So that applies in marriage, that applies in yep. church, that applies in government, that applies in your job. God is the highest authority.
Yep. But what you were saying is the wisdom here would apply, like if you're starting a part, like a company with somebody, yeah. you are yoking
yeah,
yourself
if, to if you have, if you run a factory and you're not a believer and I'm looking for a job and I'm going to get hired by you and I got to make, you know, whatever you're making in your
widget,
I'm making yeah. these widgets and you're like, yeah, great. And, but if you're not a Christian and we have a history and you come say, hey, would you like to go into business with me and make a widget factory or whatever?
Yeah. That sounds worse than evangelistic dating to me. evangelistic entrepreneurship just sounds yeah. like a train wreck waiting to happen.
There's a caution that Paul's giving yeah. of like you're pulling into – you value different things. There's
sure.
There's a mixing there. So for the question – no, but, I don't think Paul's speaking to that Christians shouldn't be employed by unchristians.
Yeah.
I know –
so this writer, I believe, employer, larger company mm-hmm. – just a secular job that he's doing. Mm-hmm. So is there some place else that speaks to us? If it's not, hey, that's not really what we're getting to here with in 6:14 of being yoked in partnership. Is there other biblical principles that speak to being employed in a secular workforce in a wise, godly way?
Yeah, we're to submit to our authorities.
Yep,
God is placed above us. Even when the family codes in Paul's epistles of slaves, masters applies to employees, bosses. Be the best worker possible. Be a good worker. Work hard.
Don't work for the yeah. praise of man. Work yep. for the praise of God.
Work under the Lord. Whatever you do, do to glorify God.
Yep.
So that applies there, and then the previous conversation we had that your highest authority is not
right.
your boss, it's your savior, your king.
Yep.
That never obey a lesser authority at the violation of obeying your ultimate authority.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's sweet. Thanks for that question.
Yeah.
Appreciate
that's awesome.
It. It's fun to think through that stuff. Cause even there's, I think plenty of times in scripture where it's like, wait a second, does this apply to the letter of the law here, mm-hmm. or is it okay? What's the spirit? What's God at work in there? What's the situation? Not that you get a pass, but it's like continue to do the hard work to wrestle through.
Mm-hmm.
Does this apply here?
Yeah.
Am I unknowingly, ignorantly, going against what God's word says?
For sure.
In an area, that's good. Yeah. So, church, if you have a question, think of on Sunday morning, something like this question or anything else related to Sunday morning messages or something that comes up in connection group. We'd love to have you continue to submit those. We've got a form linked in the digital program and then also in the connection group questions email. So, church, we love you. Thanks for joining us, Jake. Appreciate it. And church, join us next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.